Take your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're continuing our verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study through the book of Hebrews. This morning we're going to look at the whole idea of the rest that God gives unto us. So, I got in the internet, and of course, that's what everybody does these days. If you want to know a definition, you just Google it and see what you come up with. And so I got on the internet, I basically typed in the word rest, and basically I came up with the idea that rest is to seek work or movement in order to, what's it say? Relax, refresh oneself, or recover your strength. So I want everybody to join with me now, okay? Some of you have already done it, but I want you to join with me. You ready? Oh, wait a minute, come on, let's go, breathe in, oh, let it out. Now, this is the only time in which you have permission to rest during my service. Other times you might have done it, but you never had my permission. This one I'm able to say, a time of what? Rest and relaxation. So if by chance I see you beginning to agree with me, I will just say you're resting, okay? And you will all know that. So that's one way we'd look at the whole idea of rest. But there's also a second way that this morning we want to look at the whole idea of rest. And that is to be based on or grounded in, to depend on someone or something else. And so when we say, I am resting in my faith, I am resting on my Savior, we recognize this morning that the rest we're going to look at is not just stopping from work to relax and to rest, but it also is depending upon someone or something else for our strength. And that's what we're going to look at this morning when we look at the whole understanding of rest given in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, if you have your Bibles open, join with me. Let me get out the NIV so that way I read according to what you have in yours rather than the one I've used for my studies this week. Okay? Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let's be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now, we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on my oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. May God add blessings to the reading of his word this morning. So as we look at Hebrews chapter 4, and as we've been looking through the entire book of Hebrews, we find the fact that the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, brings out from the Old Testament promises that have been given by God unto God's people. And in those promises, especially now, he's telling us to rest. To find your rest in the promises of God. To find your rest in what God has done for you. To find your rest in that which God promises. But along with finding our rest in God, he also gives us a warning. Let's be careful. Let's make every effort. Let's be sure. For he sets up for us, as we looked at last week, the Old Testament understanding of Moses as he led the people through the wilderness. We looked at this in the past couple of weeks. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them manna from the ground. He gave them quail to eat. And so how God so richly provided for them. But when they came to the point of entering into the promised land, they didn't believe God. There was disbelief. So while they had seen God do all the miraculous works that God had done, they did not believe God when it came time to take a step of action for God. And therefore their disobedience cause them to, shall I say, or shall the writer of Hebrews say, cause them to fall short of entering into the rest that God had promised them in the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land that God had promised to give them. And the challenge for us is that we likewise would not fall short in our faith that would carry us on into the rest that God promises for us. Now we're going to look at it again in your little pink sheet. If you go home and study that, you'll look at it there. But in our small groups as well, we're going to look at what is this rest that God is promising? If you talk to the Jewish people, it's a Sabbath rest. You have to rest on one day a week. Also, as we look at the writer to Hebrews, he's going to say that it's more than just a Sabbath rest. He makes reference here to the Sabbath rest as we've read. We're going to see also that the writer of Hebrews takes us even beyond the Sabbath rest that God's talking about, of resting from his labor on the seventh day, to the reality that there is a rest ahead yet that we look forward to. So, now, you see in your notes, God offers us the promise of rest. However, we must be careful. And then I look at the three warnings that I give here. Actually, I had four warnings and I backed off to three. So you can thank me again that prayerfully that shortens it up a little bit. All right. I knew there'd be the Lord's Supper. And so I did shorten it up a little bit. But let's look at God offers us the promise of rest. However, we must be careful that, first of all, we don't miss it. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let's be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short. The idea there is to miss the rest that has been offered to you. Now, let me use it and illustrate it this way. Okay? It's almost a year ago now. I think it was the 17th of November that we packed up our family. We left like at 6 o'clock to drive to Jennifer's. On our way to Jennifer's, we went by O'Hare Airport and we were driving ourselves around O'Hare Airport several times to try to find the Hertz rental location because we were supposed to rent a car to take the rental car up to Jennifer's because we were all meeting at Jennifer's because the next morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning, or I think we had to be up and leave like at 4 o'clock in the morning. We all get to Jennifer's. I mean, we're talking all of us in the sense of my whole family and Lynette's brother and his family. And we all get together at Jennifer's because at 4 o'clock in the morning, we're going to get in the rental cars. We're going to go to O'Hare and we're going to get on a flight from Chicago to Miami so that we can arrive there on Saturday in order to be ready on Sunday to get aboard our cruise ship to go on a cruise, 7-day cruise of the Western Caribbean. Now, why did we go through all of that hassle to get a rental car, to fly there a day early, to get a hotel the night before? Let me ask you, the whole reason, because we didn't want to what? Help me out. We didn't want to miss the boat. Now, I must say, Mike's here this morning, so I can pick on him a little bit. Mike decided he's going to drive 23 hours and get there early. But guess what? No, he didn't miss the boat. He got there a couple hours earlier. We relaxed in our comfort of being in a hotel and spent extra money and everything else just to fly there so we wouldn't. That's what he's talking about here. How many of you understand? You don't want to arrive 5 minutes after the boat departs, do you? Unless you can swim pretty fast and pretty long. That's the picture that the writer of Hebrews is saying here. It is the idea, if I can find my notes here, it is the idea of, and actually the NIV, I really don't like the way the NIV translates it, so let me give you the work that I did when I worked. It says, therefore let us fear lest no one be left behind of the promise to enter into the rest of his rest, which appears some of you have fallen short of. So the writer to Hebrews gives us this warning of be careful that you do not miss the boat. And that you're able to enter into, because he says it appears that some of you have fallen short. You didn't make it. You thought you were okay. You thought you were on the right track. You thought you'd get there in time. You thought you had everything covered, but sorry, you didn't make it. Now let me ask you, how many of you would say, you know, this is a pretty important thing that we enter into God's rest rather than getting on a boat to take a cruise? Right? We're talking the difference between entering into God's rest and not having rest. If you know what I'm talking about, in the sense of suffering for an eternity separated from God. So the writer to Hebrews is telling us, be careful, and literally says, let us fear. We'll get to that in just a moment. So, we don't want to miss it. I've got down here four things we don't want to miss. We don't want to miss the promise. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. In other words, the opportunity to enter into the rest of God is still available. The door is still open. The time is still available. You can still get there. But it's not going to be that open forever. God's patience is long-lasting. The writer says, be careful that you don't be left behind in the promise of God. And secondly, we don't miss the gospel. Do you notice what it says? The promise of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Verse 2, for the good news came to us just as it came to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith. They received the same gospel we did. We also have had the gospel preached to us, the good news that Jesus Christ has come and he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and he rose again from the dead so that we likewise might have new life in him, the very gospel message that we proclaim. The writer of Hebrews says they also had the same good news preached to them. But the difference is they didn't believe it. They didn't receive it. The message they heard of was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. And so we want to be careful that we don't simply miss the gospel. And then thirdly, I put down here that we don't miss the value of the gospel. For the writer to Hebrews says, they also heard the same message. But they did not value the message. They did not benefit from the message that was given unto them. And lastly, they didn't value because they missed the idea of their faith. You see, the writer is saying that the door is open. The time is now. You can enter into God's rest. The opportunity is being made available unto you. Do not miss it. Do not take it for granted. But rather, if you see here, it says, the NIV translates it, combine it with faith. The promise was offered. Literally, it means to mix it all up with faith. That faith is the means by which you put it all together. You combine it with your faith. So again, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, as the New Testament tells us, that the means whereby we enter into the presence of God, whereby we enter into the rest that God offers to us, is simply by what? Faith. And so don't miss it. Don't miss that opportunity. My prayer would be that everyone here has taken the opportunity to receive by faith the salvation that Jesus Christ has offered to you. For if you don't, you will miss the opportunity of entering into the rest that God has for you. Don't miss it. Don't miss the opportunity that you have. Secondly, though, we must be careful that we don't work for it. I put down here in the notes, don't work it. Okay, is that kind of a saying today? Come on, you got to work it, work it. Come on, work it, work it. I don't know. I'm not hip enough to know what it is to be able to say, come on, work it now, work it. All right, you got to work it. Anyways, so if you want to be normal, just put, you got to work, don't work on it. All right, or work at it, I should say. All right, notice what it says. It is received by faith. Verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter that rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken the seventh day in this way. God has rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in the passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter it because of disobedience, again, he appoints a certain day, saying, today. We look at the bottom again. He talks about the fact that it is not of works. For God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. Therefore, it is not by works that we receive it, or that we enter into God's rest. So we don't need to work for it. It's by faith. So I put down here, don't work for it. I put down here, it's frightening. Now, why is it frightening? Because the passage in which the writer to Hebrews has reiterated three times. If you jump up in verse 11 of chapter 3, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my wrath. Verse as well. Then if you jump down to chapter 3, verse 14. Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. And then again, here as well. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And in verse 5, they shall not enter my rest. Continually, the writer of Hebrews is saying and warning you, the opportunity is now. Don't be disobedient. Enter into the rest of God, for to not enter in is to incur the very wrath of God. Why? I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. Now, what are some of the things that people say today that kind of cause them to be misled and not understand? They say, well, come on. God is a loving God. He's not going to condemn anybody to hell. Anybody heard that one? If God's a loving God, why would he condemn anybody to hell? So therefore, I don't have to worry. I can just assume that God's love was for everybody. Okay, how about another one? Well, at least I'm not like that person. I'm better than they are. In other words, I think I'll make it okay. I think God will look at me, you know, and kind of wink and say, hey, it's okay. You can pass. Anybody believe that one? No. Even now, there also is the idea coming out and is being really promulgated in today's world that there is a heaven to be gained. But come on, there's not a hell. We don't have to worry about that, do we? We don't if we are those who have entered into God's rest. But if you've not entered into God's rest, then you still are trying to work on your salvation. And it's simply by faith. The writer of Hebrews said, God rested. And therefore it means for us to enter into it. What? To enter into the rest of God. For those who formerly received the good news didn't enter it because they disobeyed God. And so now we see that the time is open. There is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest, verse 10, has also rested from his works as God did from his. And so we see it's not by works. So it's frightening. If you do not have never received the gift of salvation that God offers, the rest, you've never entered into God's rest, then you this morning should be fearful. For our God is a consuming God, a just God, and you are under the condemnation of God because you still are in your own disobedience and you should be frightened. Secondly, it's finished. We don't work at it because the work is already finished. You see what it says? I'm not making it up. It comes right out of the scriptures. Verse 3, for we who have believed entered that rest, as it is said, as I swore my wrath, he shall enter my rest. Although his works were, what's it say? Finished from the foundation of the world. Now I believe he's speaking of the idea of God's creation. He created the world in 6 days, and then what did he do? He rested. So let me ask you what happens, and you can discuss this in your small groups. All right, when you do this small group, the Bible study that I've given to you there, what did God do when he rested? Did he sit down in the recliner, put his feet up, grab the remote, and watch the Bears game? No. What did God do when he rested? Did he go to the fridge, grab a few snacks, go into the living room, sit down and just kind of munch a while? No. All we see is, number one, God rested. He ceased from his what? Labor. He ceased from his work. Right? And therefore, if we are going to enter into the rest of God, we must stop our attempts to work. And simply enter into his rest. Now, let me kind of draw a little point that makes a big difference. Whose rest is it? Help me out. Whose rest is it? Either way, you can look at it. Okay, you can say one or two words. It's God's rest. We enter into his rest. Because the work of salvation has been finished and completed. It's finished. And then the last point I'll put up there, it's final. There is no other work that we must do to enter into the rest of God. We must simply, by faith, receive what Christ has done for us. For it is not by the works of righteousness that we are saved, but rather it's by the gift that God has given to us. And so we recognize the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't miss the rest of God. Don't miss the boat on that. You don't have to work to try harder to somehow please God, to somehow, maybe if I do this, God will be happy. Maybe if I do that, maybe if I come to church, maybe if I put a good offering in, maybe if I give to the poor, maybe if I do all these things. What's it say? No. The completed work of Christ on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. It's final. It's done. And because Christ has purchased our redemption on the cross, all that we have to do is enter into His rest by faith and depend upon what He has done for our salvation by faith entering into that rest that He has. Let me go to the last one. We must be careful that we don't miss it, that we don't work for it, and number three, that we don't waste it. That we don't waste it. Verse 11. All right. Let me, I want to back to verse 9, or verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So that, in other words, if Joshua, by leading the people into the promised land, led them into the rest that God had promised them, then why would David say that today, if you don't harden your hearts, but enter into God's rest? Why would David, after they had already gone into the promised land, why is the promised land the rest that God had promised them? No. He's saying the rest that God had promised them is not their going into the promised land, but rather the rest that God had promised them was even beyond that, because the writer of Psalms, David, says, today is the day. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So then the Hebrews 9, so then there remains, and if I could put the word, so there remains another Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from His works, just as God has done. And so the point is, don't waste what God has done. For it's necessary that we enter into the rest of God. Only those who enter in, only those who believe, only those who by faith are able to enter into the rest of God. Verse 6 says it still remains that some will enter that rest. And as well, we see that the writer says there remains then still a rest that we can enter into. For anyone who enters into God's rest also rests from his own work. And so we see, don't waste the faith that you have, for it's necessary to have that faith. But also I put down here, it's available unto us to be able to enter. And so we come to verse 11. Therefore, what's it say? Let's make every effort. What do you mean? And you told me it was not by work, so there's no work involved. The writer here is not saying, therefore go out and work hard. The writer here is saying, therefore let's make every effort to make sure that we enter into that rest. Don't waste the opportunity that's made available for you. For today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. But rather enter in to the rest that God has given to you. Therefore, let every man, and literally could be translated, therefore, let's hurry up. Let's get ready. We don't want to miss the boat. We need to hurry up, make every effort to get there. To enter into His rest. So that none of us would fall away from what God has done by following the example of the disobedience of the early disciple, of the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And so we have this tremendous rest that God has provided for us, but we must know what it is to depend upon the rest that God has given to us, not to work on our own efforts, but because of what God has done, to work as a result of it. Enter into God's rest. There is therefore no need for us to work. But let me ask you this question, and with this I close. My time is more than gone. Let me ask you this question. When did God stop resting? Okay, how many of you would say He didn't? He's still resting. If you turn to, I believe it is, John chapter 5, verse 24, you will see Jesus in conflict with the Pharisees over healing on the Sabbath. Because they say, wait a minute, you're working on the Sabbath, you shouldn't be working on the Sabbath. And Jesus goes on and says, I and my Father are still working. So the idea is not simply that we can put our feet up on the remote, grab the TV, grab the remote and just relax. Yes, do we relax? Do we rest in God? Yes, our salvation is Him. We rest. But is there still work to be done? Yes, there is. So we still see the reality that there's still, just as God is still at work, so likewise we still at work. What's the work that God is doing? Work on that question in your small group. What is the work that God would have us to do? For Jesus says, the work that God has sent me to do. As we look at that, what's the work that Jesus has for us to do to still see people saved, is there not? The work of sharing our faith? The work of making disciples? The work of evangelizing still? That others may enter into the same rest that we have? So don't waste the opportunity just saying, well, that's okay, I'm in. My feet are up. I've made it. It's good. Rather, continue doing the work that God has called us to do as we have entered into that rest. Now, next week, read verse 12, and you'll find out, 4:12, you'll find out what we're going to look at next week, what we're going to look at. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Next week, we get to look at the Word of God. What the writer of Hebrews says to that, I'm looking forward to taking on just that couple of passages, just a couple of verses, and then jump down to verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavenly, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How many of you love that passage? Okay, I'll say the Apostle Paul's going to be here in 2 weeks to preach that passage. All right, if you know what I'm talking about. Paul Harshbarger, we're going to be gone to Nashville. Paul has been going to come and he's going to preach on that page. How many of you remember Paul came a couple weeks ago and spoke in Hebrews? He wants to just continue in Hebrews with me. And so I've already texted him and says, Paul, you get to do that. And I said, it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. So put a little Thanksgiving twist to it and speak about the opportunity we have to approach the throne of grace because of the high priest we have in Christ. And we'll look at that in 2 weeks. How many of you are still excited about the book of Hebrews? It's been great. I've loved doing what I've been doing. And I love the home take-home things that you guys have been able to take home and work on. So if you take it and throw it up or put it in your bird cage or your dog chews it up or something like that, well, that's fine. but I just have been enjoying so much the work that there is to look in the background of Hebrews and see all that God has done for us. As the writer of Hebrews reminds us of the good things, the rest we have, but warns us, don't take it for granted. Let's be diligent in what God's called us to do. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm going to close this with prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you again for the rest which you give unto us. It's not by our works or our labors, but that we can firmly rest in you and what Christ has done for us by faith in him. What a privilege we have of entering into that rest and being able to relax, knowing that Christ has purchased our redemption and that we can enter into the rest that he has prepared for us. Not only now as we cease from labor, but the rest that he promises in the future as well. And Lord, thank you that all of this has been made possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. It's in his name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Go in peace. Amen.